If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Time for This Week in Chicago History with Anna DeVlantis, and we start with some Paul Harvey history. Good morning, Anna. Let me press the button. There we go. Hi.
God, I love this, Bob. Hello to you, too. This week, 1975, Bob, go back then, legendary radio broadcaster Paul Harvey made a mark on America from his studios here in Chicago when he crafted and released, and you'll remember this, Bob, the now very famous radio piece, So God Made a Farmer. It first appeared in local papers, then became a speech, actually. It was a speech Paul Harvey delivered to the future farmers of America, and it was received with thunderous applause. People loved it. Paul Harvey followed up with that radio piece, and including it aired on, right here on WGN, in addition to 20 million people heard it across the country. In God Made a Farmer, you'll recall, Harvey presented the life of family farmers and set it to the Genesis creation story. It was moving, it was memorable, and like so many things that Paul Harvey did, made just this powerful connection to his audience. We pulled a clip of that, Bob.
That's what happens when you're a great writer and a great speaker. Mm.
And know how to just deliver it with that pause, you know, it just makes you think, right, as it goes. And then some listeners will recall, Bob, you probably do too, that speech was then made into a two-minute Super Bowl ad, Ram Trucks. Took it again, used the original Paul Harvey recording, and then repurposed it in 2013. Made donations, if I'm not mistaken, to different agricultural organizations as well for that piece. But just voted one of the best pieces of all time in radio, but also won awards for its Super Bowl version many years later.
Good day. Let's talk about some advertising agency history here in Chicago. Leo Burnett.
Leo Burnett, 1935, Bob. This week, a man named Leo Burnett, a former local newspaper reporter, opened an ad agency at 360 North Michigan Avenue. That same day, the story goes, he placed a bowl of apples on the front reception desk. The reason was he had been mocked and criticized by the local press for opening an advertising firm at the height of the Depression. Hmm. One reporter wrote that he's going to be selling apples on the street soon, so he said, I'm going to take that, and I'm going to turn a sign of despair, because it was pretty common for folks who were out of work at the time to be selling apples on the street, and he turned it into a sign of hospitality for his firm. This warm welcome, you came in the door, you got an apple. And as he built this advertising agency, just this empire with the headquarters here in Chicago, he opened offices around the world, created some of the most iconic brands in the process, from Tony the Tiger to Morris the Cat, Charlie Tuna, the Marlboro Man, Pillsbury Doughboy. He created the In Good Hands motto for Allstate and Fly the Friendly Skies for United. So many. Such an impact on the ad world over the years. And we pulled this clip, Bob, I think you'll appreciate. Leo Burnett's farewell speech in 1967. When he was stepping down as CEO, he entitled the speech, When to Take My Name Off the Door, reminding employees that though he was stepping down, his legacy should live on through them.
Oh, Leo Burnett, 1967, huh? Wow.
How about that? Get rid of the apples, if you don't do right by me and my name, okay?
Yeah, always with the apples. More This Week in Chicago History coming up momentarily. 43 years ago, he was at Navy Pier, wasn't he?
Yeah. Frank Sinatra, Bob, charmed the lakefront in a legendary concert during Chicago Fest at Navy Pier this week, 43 years ago, and he closed it all out with Chicago. For those who don't know about Chicago Fest, and I know, Bob, you know a ton about it, but it was the multi-stage, multi-day music festival that attracted top artists from really all over the world, the biggest names in music. It was Lollapalooza without the price tag, I think you could say, because it didn't set you back a car payment in order to go. It was free.
Yeah.
You could go, and it was totally free. Did you ever have anything to do with it, like in terms of your radio days?
Well, when I went over to Channel 2 in 1980, I did the live shots on the news from Chicago Fest.
And wasn't it like this huge deal? Everybody came out for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just they said that the okay, so that it was a 2-week event, and the time when Frank Sinatra was there was the biggest draw ever. They set records for attendance. They only had 30,000 seats for that particular stage, but 50,000 people showed up. Mayor Bolandic in 1982 said he wanted something special for the music fest that he had started a few years before. He wanted Frank Sinatra, and rumor was he pressed local businesses to cough up $250,000 to pay Frank on the side to get him to come, and then he played one of the largest, most memorable concerts of his career, at least for Chicagoans, and then closed the whole set list out with singing Chicago right there on Navy Pier. Would have loved to have been there for that one. Were you by any chance there for that one, Bob?
Yeah, 1982. Yeah, I was working, doing my live shots. Yeah, so that's how they got him there, huh? The $250,000. Yeah. Interesting.
No, well, backdoor payment.
TV history in Chicago, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, pioneers, weren't they?
September, for sure, Bob. You know, you think about 1948 was the year we're talking about here. So Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, homegrown, popular local TV puppet show. It hit the national airwaves this week in 48. And created by Bert Tilstrom, it was one of the most, it became one of just a beloved favorite across the country. And helped put Chicago on the map, too, as a television production center. It just was a simple premise for those who never saw the show, but it was just this cast of puppet characters. You had Kukla, the clown, Ollie the dragon, and then Fran was the only human character. She interacted just so effortlessly and warmly with the characters. And the interesting thing, too, about this one, Bob, it was all improv. There were no scripts. They just let it roll on live television. And we pulled a clip here from the Back to School show, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, back in 1949.
And another favorite of the kids and people of all ages, the Lincoln Park Zoo. You might say it started this week in 1868, right?
Such an interesting backstory. Absolutely, Bob. 1868, the city received a gift from New York Central Park Commission, and they presented Chicago with two pairs of swans this week in 1868. Back then, Lincoln Park Zoo was a cemetery and some green space, and the New York Central Park Commission attached this note to the swans that said, feed them cornbread and then wait a month before introducing them to their habitat. That's what they did. So 1 month later, you could say Lincoln Park Zoo was born, because that is when they just started this massive collection of animals. From that point forward, they were so popular, and people started coming to the lakefront, and the papers, and everybody was just sort of swooning over these swans. And the swans were the first residents of Lincoln Park Zoo. Then a Gulf Coast alligator came, and I don't know which pond that was put in, but I think pretty far away from the swans.
I hope.
And then we had, I don't know how that they worked that out, but they did. And the peacocks came, the wolves, the eagles, the foxes, a bear. The U.S. government gifted Chicago a herd of buffaloes for the lakefront park, and civic pride was just so strong, they developed it into this great zoo, one of the premier zoos to this day, and also the longest-running free zoo in the United States.
Starting with two pair of swans. Anna DeVlantis, This Week in Chicago History. More next Wednesday. Thank you, Anna.
Talk to you then, Bob.